Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do, Cal. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's tirade, being me, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. They haven't banned me yet, and they were going to ban Tom, but he couldn't figure out how to get banned.
Bring it on.
There you go. But also, if you like to listen on demand, you can always check out our podcast. Our regular programs are up normally the day after the show runs, up on most of the podcasting sites, and Tom's tirade's up on castbox.net, and you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And coming up later this hour on SBN, the National Guard troops are being deployed to the nation's capital. They've been authorized now to carry lethal force with them. I guess, you know, the politicians are more important than the average citizen's life and property. Yeah. But, you know, equal protection is kind of going out the window these days. Also, some veterans may be receiving a hefty bill from the VA in the new year. We'll tell you who and what to expect. And what's on the table to possibly improve the VA in the weekend at Bernie's administration. And, of course, as we said, Tom's tirade coming up on burning down the House. It will be running earlier in the program than usual. It's going to run in the second segment of the show. So stay tuned for the fireworks. You won't want to miss it. But first, the incursion into the Capitol building is just a week old, and many questions are left unanswered for many. Of course, you know, depending on where you're getting your information, some folks have all the answers. But there's a story out that's just out that's putting a focus on the actions that may be taken against members of the military who attended the rally, not necessarily any that went into the Capitol, but who just merely showed up at the event. And the story, you know, it's comes off of military.com, which is, yeah, it's a pretty straightforward website, pulls information from a lot of different areas. But it goes under the headline, active duty troops who participated in the Capitol, of course, the siege, could face these penalties. And It goes into some of the details about the fact that active duty military personnel, of course, they can vote, they can join a political party, they can donate to political organizations. And there has been some controversy along the way about what they can do with wearing a uniform, if they can attend a rally in a uniform or things of that nature. You know, of course, they've gotten to where they're, many are calling what happened at the Capitol, it's seditious. Of course, you can follow down that rabbit hole. But you have investigators are now working to determine whether active duty troops took part in the attack on the U.S. Capitol last week. Now, Tom, I don't know what you would have to say, but I would say if you had any active duty troops. Now, obviously, they weren't in uniform, or you wouldn't think they would have been in uniform. But you would think that if they were there as citizens and they went in and and participated in the what happened there, that certainly there would be the possibility of some penalties there if they in fact did breach the Capitol and participate in that meeting.
Hold on. That's service person or active duty was not on. They didn't skip a guard duty or anything. They were on their regular leave time, so they're not entitled to express their opinion as an American citizen in an event like this. I know that they would probably be stepping on nails and cut glass if they went in and did damage to the federal facility, but not doing that. Now, on the other hand, I have another damn question for you. They give our troops that are National Guard troops, which, and I look at it two ways. I don't want to be given a rifle or a piece without the damn ammunition, okay? But then I'm going to ask you this. They give our National Guard that is on duty in the Capitol, live ammunition. Who the hell are they going to shoot? We're going to shoot Americans? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, and we've got some information coming up on that later in the show, Tom.
Okay, that's an open question for me.
Yeah, there's a huge question for me there. And I think you can take that and compare it to what they didn't do during this rally, when there were reports or there were stories, and I put them on my Twitter feed, that there were supposed to have been National Guard there while this rally was going on last Wednesday.
Right.
And suddenly they weren't there. And I've even read stories where the Capitol Police, there were calls to bring in the National Guard, which were refused. So, you know, who knows if we'll ever find out the real facts
behind this, Tom. I mean, how would the Capitol Police have authority to activate troops? Somebody, from, with different pay grades and authority, I think, would have to activate those troops. Why would the Capitol Police call the National Guard direct?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily them. I think there probably was a chain of command. But my question is, if they were already authorized, why weren't they deployed
right.
at that point?
Yeah.
But anyway, the interesting the story about exactly what someone can do as a private citizen just because they are an active duty military member. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out on the back end to see exactly what they're able to do. Mm-hmm. But hey, as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, it's a little early in the show, but it's Tom's tirade on burning down the house when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network. And hey, if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear your opinions if you're active duty or you're just a patriot and you'd like to voice your opinions on it. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network. Trained in combat, hand to hand.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The events in our nation's capital on January the 6th, 2021 have shocked the conscience of the law-abiding people of this country. The juxtaposition of a peaceful rally and march led by freedom-loving patriots, President Trump among them, followed by the shocking images of criminal thugs smashing their way past barricades and authorities in the Capitol building, it is difficult to reconcile for most people. Candidate and then President Trump has led tens, if not hundreds, of such rallies across this great nation. And in no instance has any resulted in the outcome that we witnessed in D.C. on that fateful afternoon. I, for one, was not glued to a TV, either for the rally and the president's remarks, nor was I able to watch the coverage of the events that unfolded soon thereafter on the steps of the Capitol and beyond as the peaceful protest was hijacked by yet-to-be-determined actors with less than honorable intentions. In truth, both Hollywood and our own location prepared to do a remote for SBN. As such, I was able to take in the events in something of hindsight. Without the panicked, almost predetermined reporting on the events, I found it hard to believe that in less than a couple of hours since the beginnings of the riot, not the rally, but the breaching of the Capitol building itself, that the hourly news reports on nearly every supposed news talk radio stations were decrying the events as the worst incursion into the United States federal building since the War of 1812, when the British invaded Washington and burned the Capitol and the White House. In doing so, they of course failed to mention the numerous times that the left has taken over buildings in our nation's capital during contentious hearings or votes or assaulted conservative lawmakers at their homes or in public. Not to mention the outright homicidal attack on conservative lawmakers on a baseball field, which almost cost Congressman Steve Scalise his life. One might think that they were prepped to roll out such hyperbole in their reporting, with the hope that such an event might occur in order to further the progressive agenda. Now, you might be saying, come on, Top Cat. How would anyone be rooting for such an attack on the physical embodiment of one of our branches of government? Well, I think that the events that we have witnessed over the course of this last year have more than demonstrated that the communist progressives will stop at nothing to achieve their goal of attaining power and establishing a paradigm that will allow them to maintain control for the foreseeable future. Many of you know that I have been around for more than a few years and have seen my share of momentous events, both good and bad. But after hearing what happened at the Capitol, I could not shake the feeling that there was something more to what we were seeing unfold. Fortunately, it was the breathless reporting by the mouthpiece media that literally sparked the idea in my head. The year was 1933, when on February the 27th in Germany, a sizable portion of the parliament building in Berlin, the Reichstag, went up in flames from an arson attack. In the 10 years since his failed beer hall putsch in 1923, Adolf Hitler had poured his energy into attaining power as he rose to the head of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. For the highly educated snowflakes out there, that would be the Nazi Party. Despite its considerable growth, the Nazi Party won only 2.6% of the vote in 1928 election. The ensuing Great Depression caused massive social upheaval in Germany, which the Nazis exploited to gain further political traction. And by 1930, the Nazis had won 18.3% of the Reichstag, while the Communist Party garnered 10%. The Nazis aligned with other right-leaning factions and gradually worked their way up to 33% of the vote, but were unable to reach a full majority. In January 1933, Hitler was appointed as Chancellor as a fireball against the rising tide of communism, much like today's progressives. Hitler knew not to let a good crisis go to waste, and in the aftermath of the Reichstag fire, placed the blame for the event on his communist opposition. Under pressure from Hitler, President Hindenburg invoked Article 48, and the cabinet drew up the decree of the Reich President for the Protection of the People and the State. The act abolished freedom of speech, assembly, privacy, and the press, legalized phone tapping and interception of correspondence, and suspended the autonomy of federated states. The night of February 28th, around 4,000 people were arrested, imprisoned, and tortured by the Nazis. Although the Communist Party had won 17% of the Reichstag elections in November 1932, and the German people elected 81 communist deputies in the March 5 elections, many were detained indefinitely after the fire. Their empty seats left the Nazis largely free to do as they wished on their march to the final solution. Research done in 2013 cited witness testimonies that became available after the fall of the Soviet Union showed that the communists were likely not involved at all. Rather, it was a group of Nazis who instigated the fire and later covered up Nazi involvement, which brings my discussion full circle of 2021. As I mentioned earlier, the majority of pro-Trump freedom rallies throughout the nation over the last 6 years have been peaceful, with the exception of when, quote, anti-Trump groups have inserted themselves into the mix. These groups, such as Antifa and BLM, come looking for a clash wherever they appear, and they were scheduled to appear in D.C. on the 6th. Maybe their benefactor, George Soros, bought plane tickets for the wrong day, or maybe they were so engrossed in the latest round of Minecraft to escape from mommy's basement. But by all accounts in the media, they failed to appear on them all during the rally. Or maybe, and call me crazy on this one, they had infiltrated the patriotic group, as few have reported in social media accounts bolstered in the guise of Trump supporters, MAGA hats and Trump flags aloft. And just maybe they were the actual instigators, along with a purposely understaffed Capitol Police, with guidance from Speaker Botoxi, in the breaking and entering of the Capitol. For those of you playing at home, the Capitol building is massive, and at least from the select images that the statewide government-run media is providing the sheeple, the rioters who led the charge were well prepared to scale walls like Spider-Man and break through a few select locations with ground floor window access. That is when they were not being effectively escorted in by guards, as seen in some of the approved videos. A quick review of the available footage seems to bear this out, that the methods and tactics used to breach the Capitol were totally in line than those what we have seen throughout the 2020 summer of love and spaghetti potlucks that rioted with wanton disregard, looted with a purpose, destroyed lives and dreams, and placed a target on the heads of law enforcement throughout this nation. The very same tactics, with one exception, to quote, burn it to the ground. In all of the chaos that occurred in the Capitol, nothing was set ablaze. In fact, much of the carnage inside of the building seemed almost staged for photographers, which leads me to ponder, just why would someone undertake such a project? Just something to think about. But the deep state and the swamp creatures were still terrified of Donald Trump, even as they conducted the kabuki theater of certifying the results of the Electoral College. Even after 4 years of attempts to remove him from office with phony scandals and a sham impeachment, Trump is still fighting and his base has only grown under the withering fire from the progressives. So the incursion into the Capitol served two basic reasons. First, it shifted the focus of the nation from the very real constitutional challenges that were occurring in the joint session of Congress to the chaos that spread throughout the building. Second, and most importantly, it served a platform for Botoxi and the establishment to intensify their characterization of Trump supporters as smelly Walmart deplorables that need to be ostracized from society, both socially and physically. It was the final attempt to wipe Donald Trump and his movement not only from the history of this nation, but also to destroy any attempt that he and his movement might make to retake the government from the communist progressive deep state in the future. I think that they have failed on both accounts. In fact, I think that the actions of Botox, Schumer, and the government-run media-attacking freedom-loving patriots in the aftermath of the event have only solidified the Trump movement. At least for now, those patriots have the Constitution in their corner. It is still the greatest document for freedom that has ever been written. And at least for now, we have the God-given right to pursue liberty, and I believe that we still have the fighting spirit to keep it. That is confounding the progressives whose only God is themselves and government. But I feel certain that the torch of liberty still burns brightly in the hearts of patriots throughout this nation. And in the words of Churchill, we will never give up. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hey, a lot of great information there, Tom. A lot of great words in your tirade. And hey, you know, if you're out there and you would like to comment on it, if you'd like to join in the discussion, give us a call, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You know, if you want to comment on the tirade, if you want to comment on the story about the fact that our troops, our active duty troops who may have been there as civilians might face some penalties, go ahead and give us a call, join in the discussion. And, you know, we're going to pick it up on the other side of the break when we return here to the Scuttlebutt Network.
My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And, of course, we want to thank our sponsors.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, starting with the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, Lifelines Counseling Services, and which is the Veteran 211 Hotline.
Of course, a real quick programming note. Next week, because of Auburn basketball, which is kind of pushed us back a little bit tonight, but next week they're going to be playing right in our time slot in the evening. So next week we are going to be broadcasting live at Ed's Seafood Shed out on the causeway on Mobile Bay. And you're welcome to join us. We're going to be following Sean Sullivan and Midday Mobile. He's going to kick off at noon. We're going to run at 1. And, you know, Tom, the way things are going, because 2 weeks ago when we were there at Ed's, you had the supposed insurrection
right
there at the Capitol. Who knows? I mean, next week it's going to be the inauguration. So we might be on while what's going on.
Oh, my Lord.
But you know what, Tom? Regardless of what's going on in Washington, we're going to be eating some really good seafood.
Don't you know it? Don't you know it? Now, then we can leave there and bitch and moan later.
Well, I mean, we can bitch and moan while we're there, but we can eat and bitch and moan at the same time. But, here's an interesting point. You know, I mentioned that we were at Ed's, and you mentioned it in your tirade. We were there. The remote was going on.
Right.
I was actually listening on the radio to the president's speech. Some of the networks or the radio stations were broadcasting it. So I was driving in and was listening when the president first mentioned it, and I have to note this. The president mentioned twice in his speech about marching over from where the rally was to the Capitol. Now, for those of you who have been to D.C., it's not just a 2-minute walk. It's a pretty good walk from where the rally was
right
to where the Capitol is. And I was listening as I was coming in. I was coming in on I-10. And thankfully, I didn't get stuck in the tunnel. But I was listening and heard the president say we're going to march down. And he actually said we're going to cheer on our Republican representatives. So it was kind of interesting. Once I got to Ed's and you and I had, you know, settled in, Sean was doing his thing. Well, next thing I know, Sean turns around and says, they breached the Capitol. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the timing just doesn't
seem right. They didn't
have time. And, you know, so we can look at the timeline. I know it's been posted in a number of different areas, and it's actually been commented on by some of the folks who attended the rally. But what I'd like to put out there, because there have been some national talk radio hosts who've actually missed out on the fact that not only did Trump mention marching to the Capitol twice, actually said walking, but he never once said anything about going into the Capitol, and he actually stressed the fact that they were going to do so peacefully. And so since it hasn't been done by most of the mainstream media, but even the national media, I want to go ahead and play the actual clips from his speech where he mentioned going up to the Capitol. Can we fire those off now?
We're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections. We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give, you know, the Democrats are hopeless. They're never voting for anything, not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
Now, Tom, did I miss something? Did he at any point say, let's storm into the Capitol building and, and, you know, take over the chambers? Now, you know, I do find it kind of ironic that they did find, they were able to find Speaker Pelosi's office. Because, again, that's a massive complex there.
Yes, you would think that somehow or another the guards helped them do that, since the guards opened the doors and then invited them in and took selfie pictures with them.
Well, and of course, you know, those Capitol guards apparently are being fired or penalized in some way. But you know, let's look at this in light of what we saw around the nation throughout this last year, where you had protesters supposedly. And the mainstream media called them peaceful protesters. I mean, some even called them peaceful protesters while they were starting fires in the background of their very report.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, so here we are. And when I first heard this, I thought, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. As long as whatever they do is peaceful, it's fine. You have the right to peacefully protest.
Right.
And it was interesting because not being able to watch it in real time made it, it was when you came on the backside of it and went and looked at the video, which there wasn't a whole lot of video that initially was released. I mean, I actually didn't catch video of it until about midnight because of other things that I was doing. And even on Fox News, there were only about six or seven different small clips that they were showing of what occurred. And you kind of missed out on the video of the guard or the Capitol Police effectively just opening the doors and people marching in. You know, they walked in. Now, granted, just like in any group, you're going to have some bad actors. But I find it disturbing that we're only getting one side of this discussion, and it's all about this seditious insurrection that occurred. And even going so far as, like we mentioned, Tom, earlier in the show, that now they're going to go, if you were in any way, if you just were there, I mean, they're going after one of our military service members,
right,
simply because
right.
they arranged a trip to D.C. to go right. to the rally, Tom.
Hey, when you're off duty, you're a civilian. You know, when you leave that base and you go outside, you're just an old civilian just like I am. Sure, you have obligations, you know, to the country and all, But at the same time, I mean, come on. You can't tell these people what they can do and what they can't do.
Well, up to a certain extent. But, you know, here's the thing. So you arranged a trip to go to the rally.
Right.
And you and your group had nothing to do with what happened at the Capitol. And, you know, as they said, you were back at your Olive Garden or your Holiday Inn because, you know, the elites don't go there, even though they have a really good all-you-can-eat salad. But, you know, now they're going to it seems like we are persecuting a certain side
right.
of our society.
Right.
But, hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to have more from the Scuttlebutt Network. Who knows what we're going to jump into? You never know with Tom. So we appreciate you joining us. We'll have more on the other side of the break when we return.
Thank you very much.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Or with Tom and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The first member to say it in the fighting spirit. And before we jump back into the numbers from the most as of January.
Cal, are you going to have to call in, Cal? The line's messed up there. But one of the things that Cal will be back on air with us here in just a second. But we're going to move forward a little bit with some more information about our veterans and how they have been treated and the things that are going to happen to them now. Active duty troops who participated in the Capitol siege could face these penalties. We'll talk to some in that area. But then, you know, these guys don't have carte blanche to engage in all political activities. And, you know, certainly they aren't allowed to participate in seditious acts. But our investigators are working to determine whether any active duty troops took part in the attack on the U.S. Capitol last week, and the Army is investigating one of its own who organized a group to attend the Safe American Rally beforehand. And this is the one that we talked about from down in the Carolinas, I think, that actually had resigned and sent in her, you know, gave her resignation, which is active in April. So we're... All right, Cal, you back with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm back with you, and I apologize. You know how the, well,
internet,
obviously
baby, internet.
Big tech is on to us, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody's trying to take us off the damn air.
There you go. Well, you know, we're going to keep at it. But, hey, you know, as I was mentioning, just the COVID numbers from the military, especially because we're hearing so much about it, well, in certain pockets.
Right.
But, as of today, there have been 190,600 total cases of COVID within the DOD. Now you think 190,000, that, you know, military about 2 million.
Right, right.
That, you know, that's a lot of cases still. But if you look at, and here I think is the more important numbers. Now you've got numbers that have that recovered, and of those, there's 78,000 military members, 12,000 dependents, 19,000 civilians, 7,000 contractors. In terms of deaths, Tom, 206 DOD connected personnel have died.
Darn. Okay.
Now think about that number.
Woo.
206 out of 2 million plus.
That's going to be a 0.00 percentage.
Wow, Tom, you had to get out fingers, toes, and hairs to count that one.
I took
didn't
my
you?
Dang boots off while you know I was, so I could use my toes. You know, well,
oh
you
my
mean?
Goodness. Well, I don't. You know, Phillip's the only one that's suffering from that right now.
Now Phillips was backing up in the corner when I took my boots off. Oh hell no! But I mean, you know, I did go to school a little bit, and then I got an HK degree.
There you go. That school of hard knocks. Huh?
Damn right. Yeah. You have to get where you can.
You know,
use
those. Like I said, that's just a synopsis of where we're looking at with COVID in the military or DOD overall, because they even include the contractors
that might
have been involved. But you know, Tommy, you're mentioning prior to me jumping back in, but you were mentioning, you know, what was going on with the possible prosecution. And when we were talking about the prosecution of those that might have been there, had they been there as civilians, even though they were active duty, they are active duty military. You also mentioned the fact that now that the Pentagon has authorized the National Guard to carry lethal weapons.
Right.
And we're not talking about Mel Gibson.
No.
In all this. But,
Hold on a minute. I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
Two. What if one of our soldiers, our National Guard soldiers that has the live round, fires on one of these demonstrators, if there are some, if it gets there? Is he going to be court-martialed or not? Right? Now, the other thing is, what happens if they fire around and then there's some of the demonstrators have their own weapons that they haven't gotten out, but once they were fired on, they would feel like they were attacked, and therefore they would return fire and shoot back. Now, how in the hell are—I mean, this ain't the damn Civil War, Cal. Come on. But, you know, it appears that that's what's going to happen, you know. How are they going to handle that?
I'm not stepping into the Civil War question.
Right. I understand.
All right. The last time that we looked at a situation where you had this type of civil unrest in the nation was in the late 60s into the 70s.
Right.
Right, Tom?
Right.
You were there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember it because, well, I wasn't there.
Man, I'd already been in and out of service then.
Oh, I know. And your hair still looked good.
Oh, well, I, you know what? It still does. I got it all, so I ain't worried about it. It ain't turned loose, so the hell with it.
Right. But do you remember what happened in all those protests?
Right.
But do you remember what happened at Kent State?
Oh, you know what? Philip and I was just talking about that a while ago, you know, and the people fired on all these guys. I mean, my other question is, what if they tell these troops to fire on these people, if this occurs, and those troops refuse to fire? Are they going to court martial them? They might not want to fire on an American citizen.
Well, no, but you had the flip side there at Kent State.
Well,
because you had the National Guard deployed to that university where you had some very violent protests. They, in fact, burned one of the buildings there at Kent State.
Right.
And you had the National Guard deployed. And they had, obviously, they had, lethal weapons. They had live fire. But when
and,
you
yeah, they had the Molotov cocktails and all there, you know, come on.
Oh, yes. But when you put those National Guard troops who are there and suddenly they think, boom, I hear something that sounds like a round.
Right.
I don't know where it's coming from. And next thing you know, everybody's firing.
Cal,
and
they're already upset. They're scared to damn death. They don't want to go out there and fire on another American citizen. But if they hear a round go off, or they hear somebody fire a couple of firecrackers or, you know, whatever, then they're going to be scared. They're going to start firing. And they're going to say, oh, my God, what did I do?
I think there's a fine line there, Tom, because, you know, we've already seen, and I don't know, we don't know the exact circumstances, but you had a Capitol policeman who fired and killed a veteran who was there unarmed.
Isn't it funny that there's been no information whatsoever about that shooting and that death?
Oh, except no, Tommy, that she died. Here you had a policeman who fired on an unarmed civilian, and nobody's gone out and marched and protested and tried to burn anything down.
Right, right.
So I think what
I hate to be facetious and be stupid about this, but let's face it, she was white.
Well, and it was the Capitol Police, because you can't go in. The feds already own the Capitol Police.
Right.
Because you can't come in and force them to do your dictate if you're the Department of Justice and you want some social justice.
Right.
So anyway, hey, you know, Tom, everybody out there. There you go. Anyway, next thing you know, Tom, we're going to get. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, The Voice of the Veterans. For the veterans, hopefully we'll be on next week.
Maybe.
We're going to be from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, remember, God bless America. Hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
All right.